Everybody here this morning, and you're not here by accident. None of us are here by accident. You know why? Because Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. He is risen. He is alive. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and Jesus Christ is coming again. Wow. That's why we're here this morning to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're only going to go to a couple of passages this morning. Before we get started, we have to settle a premise. And the premise this morning is that the Bible is absolutely true. God's Word is without error. It cannot teach error. The Bible says in John chapter 17, 17, that thy word is truth. Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Thy word is truth. The Bible also says that our God is a God that cannot lie. Our God can't do everything. One of the things He can't do is lie. Our God is a God that cannot lie. This Bible is truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the living Word, and He is absolute truth. And Jesus Christ died, and He was buried for 3 days and three nights. And Jesus Christ arose from the grave. The resurrection is absolutely true. If you'd look with me this morning to Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospel of Mark, verse 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 15. Verse 13, they cried out, crucify Him. And verse 15, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus. And when he had scourged Him to be crucified, he had tortured Him beforehand. And the soldiers led Him away to the hall called Praetorium, and they galled together the whole band. They clothed Him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it around His head. Verse 18, and began to salute Him. Hail, King of Jews! Big joke! Big joke! Made fun of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Made fun of and mocked the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth. And they smote Him on the head with a reed and did spit upon Him, and bowing their knees, worshipped Him. And when they had mocked Him, they took off the purple from Him and put on His own clothes on Him and led Him out to crucify Him. Verse 22. And they bring Him unto a place called Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. The mountain looked like a skull, like the sleeping giant looks like a sleeping giant. Golgotha looked like a skull. And they gave Him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but He received it not. And when they had crucified Him, they parted His garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified Him. And the superscription of His accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with Him they crucified two thieves, one on His right and the other on His left, that the Scripture be fulfilled which saith, and He was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on Him. That means they defamed Him, made fun of Him, wagging their heads, saying, aha, thou that destroyest the temple is built in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves, the scribes, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. Verse 34, in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God forsake Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ bore the sins of mankind. He bore my sins. He bore your sins. He bore the world's sins on His shoulders. And God is of pure eyes that He cannot look at sin. Verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. We see Jesus Christ buried in verse 43 of Mark chapter 15. And Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew of it, of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen, laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and the mother of Joses beheld where he was laid. We've seen the death and we've seen the burial this morning thus far. The gospel of Jesus Christ is defined in 1 Corinthians as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've seen the death, we've seen the burial, and this morning we're going to look at the proclamation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'll then look at the affirmation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and finally the transformation by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. Please, Lord, help me do a good job. Help me say your words. Please speak to us this morning. Help us be thankful and grateful for what you did for us on the cross. And help us be thankful for you rising again in fulfillment of the scriptures, Lord, to save our souls. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here who does not know without a doubt that when they die that they'll go to heaven, I pray this morning they'll know. Lord, I pray for the rest of us that we not be shy, take the message of the gospel of Christ to others. We not be scared or embarrassed or even neglectful. Please, Lord, help us be a people of God, faithful. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. It's funny, you look at the weather forecast. How many look at the weather forecast on a regular basis? Yeah, and then you know tomorrow is 50% chance of rain. You like the weather too, huh, PJ? 50% chance of rain tomorrow. You wake up the next morning and it's 10%. How does it change? Did the weather change? No, the forecast changed. The weather never changed. It is what it is, and it is what it's going to be. But the forecast changed. But the newscast, the forecasters, get the proclamation wrong. We see in Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, David writing, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." We see a proclamation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Holy One is the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall not see corruption. He was to be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Yea, he rose again, but David proclaimed, "For thou shalt not leave my soul in hell." Hell is in the heart of the earth. Hell is not all fire and brimstone. Hell is separated into two compartments. One is paradise, or Abraham's bosom, and the other is a place of torment. And Jesus Christ, when he died, his soul went to hell, to Abraham's bosom. And the Bible says, David, 1,000 years before Jesus Christ even appeared on this earth, he said, "Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." In other words, to stay dead. The body would rise again. Mankind, with all the satellites, with all the computers, cannot get the weather right. But God's man can get the resurrection right 1,000 years prior. This is a supernatural thing. This is not, God's ways are higher than our ways. God is real. God exists. God reigns on high. And he means what he says, and he says what he means. And when he proclaims the resurrection of his son Jesus Christ, he means that Jesus Christ will rise again. The proclamation of the resurrection Jesus Christ says in Mark chapter 8, verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus Christ proclaimed that he would die, that he would be buried for 3 days, and after 3 days rise again. We see in John chapter 11 when he goes to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. Martha comes up to Jesus Christ in John chapter 11. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me. Let's stop right there. Stop. The word believeth. It's not by going to church, Martha. It's not by paying tithes, Martha. It's not by being as faithful or as best as you can be, Martha. It's not by helping little old ladies across the street, Martha. It's whosoever believeth in me should not perish. Whosoever believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It's belief and trust in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you do not know with certainty that you're going to go to heaven, I want you to know, Liberty Baptist Church here wants you to know, God wants you to know what the Bible says about being what the Bible calls saved. Saved means delivered. Saved means delivered from the wrath of God. God hates sin, but he loves you. And how could he rectify the two? He's a God. He's a just God. He says that sin must be punished. But he loves you. How did he rectify it? Well, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, to die for our sin, to pay for our sin. And it's a gift of God. And we receive that gift by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, it's as simple as this. It's not easy because we want to make it hard. It's not easy because we want to do something. We have nothing to do. Jesus Christ did it all. If you come to Christ this morning and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, because the Bible says all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And we're sinners. Every one of us have sinned. Sin is not allowed in heaven. And we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we say, Dear God, please forgive me. I'm trusting Jesus Christ. I trust you, Jesus, to take away my sin. I trust you, Jesus, to wash me clean. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sins. Oh, praise Jesus. If one comes to a place in his heart to that understanding, the Bible says we're saved. It's a heart matter. It's not the prayer. It's trusting Jesus Christ. The proclamation of the resurrection. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And Jesus asked Martha this, believest thou this? I went to the courthouse this last week. How many have been to the clerk and recorder's office at the treasurer's office? You got the great big books back there. In fact, the ladies, they ask you to get them off the shelf because some of them are pretty heavy. I had to ask my wife to get it off the shelf. They're heavy. Anyways, you open up those deeds, and some of them are records of deeds, and some of them are actual deeds. I took this particular deed out of one of those big books. It was the first one. That way they don't have to go through them all and pick one out of the middle. But the deed books are full of this. This indenture made the 26th day of February in the year of our Lord, 1889. In 1889, this deed was written. And it tells us exactly what year was written, 1889, in what? In the year of our Lord. Every one of us, whether we realize it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, every one of us affirm the resurrection of Jesus Christ when we write our birth date, when we write today's date down, because it's in the year of our Lord. And why is it in the year of our Lord and not in the year of Caesar or not in the year of Alexander the Great? Because Caesar, Alexander the Great, Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, no one else in the world arose from the grave other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has eternal life. Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. And we're here 2,016 years later in the year of our Lord. He turned the world upside down because He defeated death. Amen. The affirmation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's turn our Bibles over to John chapter 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 20. Verse 25. Verse 24. Excuse me. John chapter 20, verse 24. 25, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. He stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas could have answered like some of us this morning, "I still not believe. Nope, I don't want the thing to do with you, Jesus. No, I still doubt, Jesus. No, I'm not willing to accept that you rose again from the dead." But I hope every one of us this morning takes the path of Thomas this morning. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." Yet have believed. Every one of us here has the opportunity to believe, to be blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple belief, it's trust, it's faith in Jesus Christ. We see the affirmation of the resurrection of Christ, and he was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren. At once, the Bible says, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Jesus Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is alive. He appeared unto the disciples. He ate bread. He ate fish. He appeared unto 500 people. There are people that have been tortured and died for the cause of Christ because He is risen. We said earlier that the gospel is defined in 1 Corinthians. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye have received, wherein you stand, by which ye are saved." We're saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're saved by faith in the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul says, "I am not ashamed," in Romans chapter 1. "I am not ashamed of this gospel of Christ, for it is the power." What is the power? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Oh, it's a supernatural power. It's the greatest power in the world, in the universe. It's the power that created the universe with a spoken word. It's this same power. It's the power of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We've seen the proclamation of the resurrection of Christ. We've seen the affirmation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now if you take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 16, we'll look at the transformation. The transformation by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. These are the women. We're going to make an application. We're going to read the verses, and it's the story of the women coming to the empty tomb. But we're going to make an application in our lives. They're right now going to the resurrected Christ. They don't even know He's risen from the dead. But they're seeking. They're wandering about. And they're seeking the resurrected Christ. The Bible says, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Maybe some of you are at this point this morning where you're just seeking Jesus Christ. You're seeking something. You're seeking to fill that empty hole. You're seeking to fill that empty void. You're seeking to have the peace that you long for. Maybe you're seeking for the joy that others have and you just can't quite get the joy. A lot of fun, but that joy. What about hope? Maybe there's some here that are seeking hope. There is no hope in this world. Take a look at the newspapers, the TV, whatnot. There is absolutely no hope. We are a mess. This world's a mess. And some of you might be seeking hope, seeking help, seeking joy, seeking peace, seeking Jesus, the resurrected Christ. We see verse 3. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" They're asking a question. Maybe some of us are asking questions. Who is Jesus? Is there really a God? Well, what about evolution? What about all these other things? I saw this week, just this last week, they found a walking fish. Did you guys see the walking fish? How many saw the article about the walk? They found a walking fish. And so you click on the video, and they got this fish on a piece of glass. And it sort of looked like a goldfish. You know how their fins are out like this rather than what do they call it, ventral? But it's out like this. And here's this fish swimming on the glass, and he's going like this, and he's moving, but there's just a little sheet of water, and they say, well, he's walking. I believed in evolution for a long time. I got born again. I still believed in evolution. And then the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and now I have no problem with God, our Creator. But there might be some here this morning who still can't quite get over the evolution thing. Ask God to help you. Ask God to get you past that. Past those questions. We see in verse 3, these women had questions. Verse 4, and when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Maybe some of us here are intimidated by this thing called Christianity. Intimidated by this thing called the risen Christ. Intimidated by this Bible. We don't need to be intimidated. Even though this Bible is great, even though God is very great, we don't need to be intimidated. Verse 5, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. They were frightened. Some of us this morning might be frightened. What about this question? One question. What will happen to me when I die? That's a fearful question. Maybe some of us are affrighted this morning. The Bible says, the Bible's clear and tells us what happens when we die. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. There's a judgment day. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, how shall we escape this judgment if we neglect so great a salvation? If you neglect the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will be judged for your sin. If you accept the salvation of Jesus Christ, then your sins will be judged on the cross. Because Jesus took the world's sins on His shoulders. He bore the sins on His shoulders. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 6, and He said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth. He's consoling them. He says, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. Oh, those are three great words. We can underline them. We can asterisk them. We can highlight them. We can circle them. He is risen. And that's what separates, one of the things that separates Christianity from all other isms and religions and what faith systems in the world. We cannot go to the body of our founder. Amen. We can't celebrate His tomb. He's not there. He is risen. Amen. It's empty. Years ago, worked at the hospital, and the guy filled out the deal, the security guard, because someone's purse got stolen, and he ended it with this. She came back to the office, went to her locker, and the purse was found gone. Our Lord and Savior was found gone. He's risen. And so we can be consoled by that. We can be intimidated. We can question. We can seek. We can be intimidated. We can be frightened. But we can be consoled with the three words, He is risen. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Then in verse 7, but go your way, we're instructed. The women were instructed to go your way. And verse 8, and they went out quickly, they obeyed. That's for the believer this morning. We're told to go and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving knowledge of Christ, and we're to go immediately. We're to obey. The transformation by Jesus Christ from seeking, from frightened and intimidated, to comfort. Comforted and amazed. Look at verse 8. Amazed. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and now were amazed. God's amazing love, God's amazing grace to save a sinner as I. The gospel of Christ is the power. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The Bible says to the Jew first and the Greek. And I have to add, not only to the Jew and to the Greek, but to the Indian. Why do I say the Indian? Tuesday night I got a phone call from the IRS. And I owe the IRS. I have defrauded my government out of $80,000. And I am to go to the courthouse and pull some money out, meet two people there. Then I won't go to jail. I called them back. And the one woman, she yada yada, and she cut me off. She hung up on me. I was praying that I could talk to somebody. Because I know that they're thieves and crooks. And maybe somebody would listen and get out of this thing. I called again, I got hung up. I called again, and this guy's talking to me. And there's a little delay there because it's a long ways away. And it's so noisy. I said, sir, I can't hear you. I can't. There's too much. Let me talk to my supervisor. I talked to the supervisor. I still can't hear. It's background noise. We're shouting at each other. And he says, but I don't have the money. He says, let me transfer you to my supervisor. So I get transferred to his supervisor. It's fairly quiet. I mean, I'm moving up. Now, this guy got me on the phone, and I says, yeah, that guy transferred. That guy? That guy is not that guy. That guy is an agent of the United States of America. I says, well, the agent transferred me. That's better. Now, sir, what are you going to do about your debt to the federal government? I says, I don't owe a debt. Yes, you do, sir. Don't try to lie. Fine. We're going on and on, and he says, you bring the money tonight. I says, it's after, go to the bank and get the money. I says, sir, it's after 5 o'clock here. The banks are not open. I cannot go to the bank. Then he started cursing. Then he started swearing. Then he was really filthy. I mean, really filthy, and even got my wife involved in everything. And I said, sir, I'm about ready to hang up. You cannot hang up. You'll go to jail. You'll go to federal penitentiary if you hang up. I said, sir, if I don't hang up, then I got one thing to say. And I want you to listen to me. You're telling me or you're requesting me? I said, sir, I'm sorry. I'm requesting you that you listen to me. Yes, that is better. I said, sir, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and God loves you. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sin. You want to talk about transformation of the resurrection? Silence. Sir, I have heard of this Jesus. What do I do now? I thought he was then pulling my leg. I says, well, you need to know that you're a sinner. Oh, yes, sir. I'm a very wicked man. I've been trying all kinds of things to benefit me in this world. That's why I'm at this job. I'm looking for something. I thought this money would help. I don't know what to do, sir. I said, the Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. You can be saved of your sins. Well, I'm talking to him. You can be saved from your sins. If you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, pray to Him, you know you're a sinner, and ask Him to forgive you of your sin. I will, sir. But then what do? I says, find a Bible. I have to make a confession. I said, what's that? He says, I have never touched a Bible. I says, go find a Bible and read the book of John. What is John? I said, well, it's in the Gospel. It's a Gospel of John. There's four books. It's called the New Testament. Just a minute, sir. Okay, I'm ready. I said, well, you got Matthew. How do you spell that? I says, M-A. Luke. Matthew, Mark. He knew how to spell Mark. And he said, Luke, how you spell that? I said, L-U-K-E. I says, then the book of John. I will read it, sir. Sir, I'm very sorry. I should not have talked to you rude that way. I am sorry. Then I couldn't help but the story of Zacchaeus. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? When he dined with Jesus, then he fourfold restored everything he had stolen. And this is what this guy says to me. He says, sir, I have to tell you something. You are not in trouble. You are not going to prison. This is a scam. I'm very sorry. I don't know if he got saved. I told him how to get saved. He's wrote down. So we'll pray for him. I don't even know his name. But that, from swearing and cursing and yelling to yielding, that is the transformation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. to the Jew first and then the Greek. The transformation is a change in a man's life after hearing the gospel of Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's the eternal transformation, from death unto life. So also is the resurrection from the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. That's the transformation of the resurrection of Christ, because we'll have a new body, a transformed body, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. He's coming again. If we're already dead, we're coming with Him. If we're still alive, He's going to meet us in the clouds of what's called the rapture, and we'll have a new body. The transformation by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've looked at the proclamation of the resurrection of Christ, the affirmation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ with the witnesses, people persecuted throughout the ages, deeds written in the year of our Lord, the affirmation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the transformation by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believer, are we amazed like the women in verse 8 of Mark chapter 15? Are we amazed enough? Are we grateful enough by the love and blessing of Christ to obey and go our way and tell others? Are we amazed enough by the loving blessing of Christ, not only to go tell others, but go quickly? What about you this morning? We're going to have a song of invitation. What if you're here this morning and not trusted Christ as Savior yet? You're still seeking, you're still wandering, you're still wondering. You have questions and intimidated by this thing called Christianity. Well, does this mean I won't be able to hang around with the friends I have now? Does this mean my life will have to change? I beg you, trust Christ as Savior, and then let those questions and answers come after you know Christ as Savior, after you've passed from death unto life. Go to Jesus Christ. And like the angel said, be not afraid, be not affrighted, for He is risen. He has defeated death. And Jesus Christ wants to give you eternal life. Let's stand. I'd like to pray real quick for the invitation. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for rising again from the dead. We thank You for dying on the cross for our sins. God, I pray that You help us, Lord, as believers. Help us. Help us be thankful. Help us be grateful enough to tell others how You died and were buried and You rose again. To tell others how You've changed our lives. To tell others how You've given us hope. Oh, God, thank You for hope. I pray, Lord, for those who do not know You as Savior, never trusted You as Savior, do not know if they're going to go to heaven or go to hell when they die. I pray this morning they come forward, that someone can show them from the Bible, from the truth, how they can know that they go to heaven when they die. How they can know that these things were written. They might know they have eternal life. We thank You, Lord, for this day we can celebrate in the empty tomb. We thank You for loving us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 383. Won't you come this morning? 383. Thank you. have you be seated just for a couple moments. This is Justin. Justin had asked to be baptized, and we'll welcome into the church membership. So by the uplifted right hands, how many here, members of Liberty Baptist Church, would say, hey, you know what, Justin, he's okay, and we'd allow him to be a member of the Liberty Baptist Church. Praise God. Anyone be opposed besides his brothers and sisters? All right. We'll have a baptism next Sunday. Baptism does not save. Baptism is a picture. Oh boy, you can't get around it. Of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brother Jim Little, would you close us in prayer, please? Amen. If you would, shake Justin's hand. Welcome to the body here.